Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we've talked a lot about Thanksgiving on the show over the last week. Last Friday, we heard from one woman who volunteers handing out turkeys to families in need. Yesterday, we got a crash course in all things pie. But we also wanted to make sure that we highlighted another and sadly darker side of the holiday, which is its history. Tomorrow, hundreds of Native Americans will gather in Plymouth for the 50th annual National Day of Mourning, a day intended to separate truth from myth. To learn more, we spoke to Keisha James. She is an enrolled member of the Wampanoag Tribe, president of Wellesley College's Native American Student Association, and she's the granddaughter of the founder of the National Day of Mourning. And she told us it's an incredibly meaningful day for Native Americans, especially here in New England.
It's the only day out of the 365 days of the year that we have where us Native Americans have a chance to talk about the issues that are affecting us. Especially in the New England area, we're very much erased. A lot of people think we went extinct or that, you know, all the real Indians died off. So it's a very important day because it gives us a chance to talk about the issues affecting us and also just increase awareness about our existence in the area.
So, for the people who haven't been or maybe have never even heard of the National Day of Mourning, can you walk us through the day, how you'll spend it? I've heard you refer to it as a protest.
Yes. So for some people, National Day of Mourning has a religious significance where they'll fast before National Day of Mourning. But for many of us, it is a protest, protesting the continuous lies that are being told to school children and just the public in general about Thanksgiving, and also protesting the general conditions that Indigenous people endure in this country and around the world. So National Day of Mourning begins at noon. We open with a prayer. And that's followed by speeches made by only Indigenous people, because only Indigenous people are allowed to give speeches on National Day of Mourning, because it's one day when we won't be spoken for. And then following the speeches, we have a march. We usually march down to Plymouth Rock and talk about the truth about Plymouth Rock and what it represents, because Plymouth Rock, the pilgrims didn't even land on Plymouth Rock. It was actually just a random rock that was chosen and then brought down to the waterfront and sort of had this whole mythology constructed around it. So we talk about that. And then we march up to Post Office Square in Plymouth, where there's a plaque commemorating National Day of Mourning, which we got as part of a 1998 settlement with the town of Plymouth. And then following that, we have a social. It's a potluck dinner. We have many, many wonderful kitchen volunteers who spend the days leading up to National Day of Mourning preparing for this dinner. And at this meal, it's just a chance for us to sit down, talk to one another, get to know each other, sort of foster community.
Keisha, do you happen to know roughly how many people attend the National Day of Mourning?
Attendance has gone up quite a bit in recent years, where we have anywhere between 700 to 1,200 people. This year, there might be more because it is the 50th, but if it rains, then that tends to change the numbers.
Keisha, what is the truth about Thanksgiving? What do we misteach, and what true history have we forgotten or erased?
Currently, we teach, and I think everyone's taught a slightly different version of the myth, but the myth that I was taught in school when I was younger is that the pilgrims, seeking religious freedom, landed on Plymouth Rock, and then the Indians welcomed them with open arms, saved them from starvation, and to celebrate it, they all sat down and had a Thanksgiving feast together, and then the Indians conveniently faded into the background, and everybody lived happily ever after. But it is important to note that the pilgrims didn't actually come here to seek religious freedom. People tend to mistake the pilgrims with the Puritans. The pilgrims already had religious freedom where they came from. The pilgrims were here as part of a commercial venture. When they arrived, and they arrived on Outer Cape Cod, not in Plymouth, by the way, one of the first things they did was rob my ancestors' graves at Cornhill and steal as much of their winter provisions as they were able to take. And then the Wampanoag did welcome them. That part of the myth is true. And the Wampanoag did save them from starvation. And in return for this kindness, the Wampanoag got, you know, genocide, theft of lands, never-ending repression. And the other important thing to remember is that the first Thanksgiving didn't take place in 1621 when the pilgrims had a harvest time meal with the Wampanoag. Instead, it was actually officially proclaimed in 1637 to celebrate the massacre of over 700 Pequot men, women, and children on the banks of the Connecticut River.
David Silverman talked with Morning Edition about his book, This Is Their Land, The Wampanoag Indians, Plymouth County, and the Troubled History of Thanksgiving. And he talks about the treatment of the body of a tribal leader in another bloody conflict between the people of Plymouth and Native peoples during that same era.
After they killed him, they dismembered his body, they decapitated his head, and they piked it outside the gates of Plymouth and left it there to rot for 20 years as a symbol of their victory. And then after that activity, Plymouth and Massachusetts colonies held days of Thanksgiving in praise of God for saving them from their enemies.
And we'll have that full interview with David Silverman tomorrow morning on WBUR's Morning Edition. Is that the truth we need to be teaching about what happened in the early years after the Pilgrims came to the United States?
I do think it is the truth that we should be teaching. We should be teaching what happened to Massasoit and the Wampanoag people and the real savagery that was brought over to these shores and the legacy of the Pilgrims, because we always say that the Pilgrims brought with them homophobia, a class system, jails, all sorts of things to these shores. So I think it's very important to talk about what really happened to the Wampanoag.
I would ask, Keisha, were there any positives that came out of those early interactions between your people and the European settlers? Technologies, tools, trade, anything good in your mind that came out of those early interactions?
One of the most common arguments I hear is that, you know, it can't have been all bad for the Wampanoag because the European settlers brought with them technologies and guns and things like that. So, you know, we should be thanking the settlers for technological progress. But I don't think anything positive came out of the early interactions with the Wampanoag and the Pilgrims because, you know, technological advances are great. But if you're trading technological advances with genocide, then I don't think anything good can come out of an early interaction.
So Thanksgiving is a holiday celebrated across the country. People enjoy the food, the family. Often they're not focused on the historical anchoring of the holiday, but instead who they're with and what they're grateful for. How do you reflect on Thanksgiving as it's celebrated today?
So I don't have anything against Thanksgiving as a holiday. I think it's great that people get together with family and friends and reflect on what they're thankful for, because I don't think we reflect on that often enough. The part that I object to is the Thanksgiving myth, because I think right now in America, the Thanksgiving myth and Thanksgiving are actually inseparable, because the Thanksgiving myth is really hammered into school children and just in culture in general. And so I just really object to people perpetuating the Thanksgiving myth in the same way that I object to Columbus Day and people perpetuating the Columbus myth as well. But I don't have anything against a holiday like Thanksgiving.
Yesterday, we spoke with Cedric Cromwell, the chairman of the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, and he corrected our understanding of the first encounter that we often think of as that first Thanksgiving. Here he is.
Chief Usamequin, our great Santium, you know, Massasoit is the title that means great chief, but it was Usamequin, Yellowfeather, sent 90 men over to the first settlers and said to check on them and see why they had so many guns out and weapons and practiced in arms and target practice. And, you know, they decided, our people, along with the settlers, decided to sit down and talk about why everybody was taking up arms. And it was a sit down of peace and prosperity, because the first settlers were planning to kill and destroy our people. And, you know, the first settlers sat down with our tribal warriors and talked about peace, how we work together. And it was fish, fowl and pheasant, and shellfish and venison.
So if we had understood that this first meal was about avoiding massacre, and that some 15 years later, in fact, a massacre did happen, how do you think we would be celebrating Thanksgiving today?
I think we wouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving as it's understood today, because although the first Thanksgiving, as Cedric Cromwell described, was about peace, at the same time, the Wampanoag already knew what the European settlers were going to do to them, so they already knew that it wasn't truly about peace, I think. So I don't think the first Thanksgiving was actually about peace. And I think if people understood that, then the mythology just wouldn't have come into being in the first place.
So the word celebrating wouldn't even be in the lexicon. There might be something we would observe.
Yes.
Keisha, in addition to correcting our understanding of the history of Thanksgiving, you've said that the National Day of Mourning is also meant to raise attention about issues that Native people face in the United States. What are some of those issues?
The issues that we are really going to be talking about this year at National Day of Mourning and the issues that we really, really care about this year are, first and foremost, missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirits, which some of your listeners may have heard of because it's getting a little more national attention now. But essentially, there's a silent crisis going on in this country where Indigenous people are being murdered and going missing at extremely high rates, and law enforcement and governmental officials in general just haven't been responsive enough, and they don't seem to care enough. So we're really trying to raise the visibility of missing and murdered Indigenous women. We're also going to be talking a lot about the Keystone XL pipeline as well as other pipelines. And then the last big issue we're really focusing on this year is ICE, because we as Indigenous people are...
ICE as in Immigration and Customs Enforcement?
Yes, specifically ICE detaining migrant children at the border, because we as Indigenous people are painfully aware of the U.S. government's history of separating children from their families, and specifically Indigenous children from their families. You know, our children were taken from us and put in residential schools, the last of which closed in 1996. So this is still a very fresh wound for us. And down at the border, many of those children are from Indigenous families. And so we just see this as sort of an extension of the U.S. government's separation policies against Indigenous people.
Those are deeply troubling and challenging issues, Keisha.
Yes.
You've also said a couple of times today that it's important for people to take time for gratitude and that we don't do it enough. Is there anything you're particularly grateful for this year?
I'm grateful that I'm a U.S. citizen and I'm not in a, you know, in a cage this Thanksgiving. And I'm particularly grateful that my ancestors were able to survive colonization and U.S. imperialism and everything like that, and that I'm still able to be here today. And that's something that I give thanks for not only on Thanksgiving, but every day. So those are the things that I'm particularly grateful for this year.
And Keisha, is there something listeners today, for example, could or should do differently or in addition when observing Thanksgiving this year that you might recommend or call people to?
Yeah, I do think there are some things that you can do on Thanksgiving. I think the first thing is to learn about the true history and educate yourself. You know, if you're a parent, sit your children down and explain to them what happened at the real Thanksgiving. You know, you don't have to go into all the gory and graphic details, but I think young children are able to handle a lot more than we think they can. And I think it's important to start young, teaching them the true history. You can also, if you have a school-aged child, maybe think about start advocating for a more inclusive curriculum and a more truthful curriculum about Native American issues. If your school child dressed up in a pageant, as many do in this state, consider talking to your school district about that, to your child's teacher about that, to try to get that aspect of pageantry removed from the curriculum. But in general, I just think people should really sit down before they celebrate Thanksgiving and just educate themselves on the true history of Thanksgiving, just so that they understand why the myth is so harmful.
And lastly, Keisha, I want to ask you, your grandfather, Wamsutta Frank James, founded the National Day of Mourning 50 years ago. If he were still with us, what do you think he'd say today?
I think he'd be proud that we had continued his tradition for 50 years, which is no small feat, especially when National Day of Mourning sort of began as a very controversial counterculture movement that a lot of people violently hated. So I think it's a big deal that we're still here. But I do think that he would be saddened that many of the issues that were prevalent in Indian country are unfortunately still prevalent today. They still aren't solved. Our suicide rates still are highest in the nation than they were in 1970. And our life expectancy is still lower than all of the other races in America. And that was the same in 1970. And our, you know, education levels are still lowest in the nation, things like that. So I think he would be a little dismayed that we haven't made more progress as a society, but I do think that he would be proud that we have continued National Day of Mourning.
That was Keisha James, an enrolled member of the Wampanoag tribe, president of Wellesley College's Native American Student Association and granddaughter of the founder of the National Day of Mourning. Stay with us. Coming up, former U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Pinsky on poetry at the extremes of human emotion. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.